said, not by raising conflict in the church, to not be ashamed to serve the Lord. Amen. Gio, can I tell you anything? I know you look older. Can I tell you anything? I've been permission these days. You can't just say anything. My grandson, but he's only 16 years old. Amen. And he's not ashamed. Matter of fact, he went to a service last year when he was 15. And he was praising the Lord and shouting all over the place. And the people said, wow, a young person. A young person. And it kind of encouraged other young people. Amen. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation, unto everyone that believes. Today, don't be ashamed of God. Amen. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. The gospel has the power not only to transform, but to completely change your life from the inside out. Amen. We thank God for my wife. She's definitely present. I can tell you that she's been fighting asthma. Amen. And we just bless the Lord that she still has a mind with what little rest she did get to come out. Every once in a while, she said, why did you wake me up? I said, you were tired, you were all night. So that's why sometimes you see me, I go back to get her because I won't wake her up early enough because I know how she struggles through the night. But nevertheless, we do have a program to go to today. So let us stand for our scripture reading. We'll be coming from the 27th chapter of Numbers. Amen. We're going to read verses 18 through 30 of Numbers. I don't want to read all of this, let me see. Let me cut it short. We're going to read verses 23 through 35, and then we will go back. I'm going to try to preach a message. I'm more interested in us getting the gist of what God has to say today. Amen. So be patient and pray for us. And actually, the Lord has gave me this message over a month ago, but I just didn't find the fitting opportunity to use it. So it's not something that I just received from the Lord, but I received it probably a month and a half ago, and I was reading and just meditating on it. But the thing the Lord says, use it. So we want to use it to the glory of God. Amen? So actually, let's go to verse 22. Verse 22 reads, and God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way, and went into the field, and Balaam spoke the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side, and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself unto the wall, and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he spoke her again. And the angel of the Lord went further, and stood in a narrow place, where there was no way to turn, either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down on the Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he spoke the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. And she said unto Balaam, what have I done to thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now would I kill thee. And the ass said unto me, am I not thine ass, upon which thou hast been ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on upon his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Wherefore hast thou spit in thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me, and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I have slain thee, and saved her alive. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the reading of your word. Lord, we thank you, hallelujah, in these last legal days, that we still have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God will say unto the church. Lord, as we stand today in thy presence, and we realize that in thy presence is the full joy. Oh, Lord, we ask you to send the word. Lord, speak to us in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you to bring down stony hearts. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to open up deaf ears spiritually. Lord, we ask you to open up spiritually blinded eyes. Lord, we ask you, oh God, in Jesus' name, to turn hearts of stones into hearts of flesh through thy word. And Lord, our hearts desire to speak for thy servant here. Oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus, and after you speak, give us a word to hide thy word in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. And all these blessings and favors we have in the church today in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. Amen. Much debate concerning whether or not Balaam was a true man of God or was a false prophet. And as we go through those that have been in the Wednesday night Bible classes, we'll be able to discern, based on the terminology of the relationship, that God speaks today. Amen. But in the 27th chapter, which is where Balaam, the king of Moab, sent and called for Balaam to come curse God's people. And he said, come curse him. And I'm just going to highlight a few portions of this. And starting in verse 8. Verse 8 of the 27th chapter of Numbers. And he has sent for Balaam to come curse. And Balaam said to the elders of Midian that they were sent to him, he said, tarry here tonight. He said, now let me hear what the Lord will say. Verse 8 said, and he said unto them, lodge him this night. And I will bring you word again as the Lord speaketh unto me. Now those that have been in Bible night, Wednesday night Bible class, though we use the term Lord, that's a covenant relationship with God. That's an intimate relationship. So Balaam is referring to the Lord as his covenant God. Amen? I will speak unto me and to the princes of Moab, abide with Balaam. And God came. Right. Do you know from Wednesday night? When God comes, that means you don't have a relationship. That means that Balaam only knew God as his creator. He did not have a covenant relationship. Because if he had a covenant relationship, the Lord would have spoken. But God spoke. You ever know what I said? Well, how do you figure out who is the Lord, who is the God? How does it all interwoven together? Amen? Because Balaam was trying to force a relationship. But God said there is no covenant. God says no honor. Amen? So we know that God don't speak through false prophets. So God came to Balaam and said, what man of these with thee? And Balaam said unto him, come on, so is that a covenant relationship? Or that's just them Lord as creator. That's just them Lord as creator. Right? So they said unto God, Balaam the son of Zippor, king of Moab, and said unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt. How many know that when God saved us, we came out? Hallelujah. I said, when God saved us, we came out of Egypt. Amen. Who's covered the face of the earth? Come down, curse me, then peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said. So if God is speaking, we know that. relationship. God is speaking only as creator, because God created everything. So Balaam is trying to force a covenant relationship, but every time you turn around, who's speaking? God. Right? Because if it wasn't a relationship, who would have spoken? The Lord. Alright? That's it for those that are Wednesday night brothers. Alright? So yeah, let's skip over to the latter portion of the 22nd, going to the 20th verse. And then after we read this, we will give you the message. Alright? Now he tells them, now God had already told Balaam, don't go. He said, because the people are blessed. And how can you curse? Thank you, Lord. How can you curse whom God has blessed? So Balaam was trying to get permission. That was the number one problem. The people are already blessed. Hallelujah. That's why I'm worried about man. As long as I know I got a covenant relationship with the Lord, I know that I am blessed.
Danger. I don't want you to do it.
and unrighteousness. So God said, has God ever told us don't do something? But we should have asked us to do it anyway. Alright, so let's keep going. Then I'll give you the message after this. God got angry. Well, why would God get angry if he told him to go? Because God had already said, come on. Well, why did God get angry? Because he was doing what God had told him not to do. And the Bible said, man looks at a thing, outward appearance, but God knows his heart. God knew that if they came 20 times and he said no, guess what? Man was determined to go. So God said, you know, I'm looking past what you're saying, and I know what's in your heart. So God said, listen, even though if man needs to go, I'm going to let you go. But why? Because you're already determined to do what you want to do. So God's anger gets kindled against him. And he went out and stood in the way, verse 22, for an adversary against him. Verse 23, and the ass saw the angel standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned out of the way and went into the field, and Balaam spoke the ass to turn her away. You know you're in a bad spiritual condition. You know your mind is messed up. The angel of the Lord is standing there to slay you, and you can't see because you have purpose what you're going to do in your heart. Amen. But the angel can see that the donkey can see the angel of the Lord to destroy him. Balaam couldn't see because he was blinded by his own conceit. He was blinded by what he wanted to do. God said, don't do it. He said, I'm going to do it anyway. Amen. Verse 24. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side, and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself onto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place, where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. Listen, God is so determined to turn him around.
Children, God will use children to speak a word to you. Don't be so high.
And you all start speaking back. That's a serious problem. Right?
So God didn't come to hurt us. A lot of people like to point a finger. But Paul said that I might know him. I want to know God and push the way. That I might know him, the power of the resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering. Being made conformable unto his death. But let me go, because I have a few more minutes. Let me try to get to it. So verse 31, then the Lord opened the eyes of Abram, and he saw. You mean he had to go all for that for God to open his eyes? He couldn't see the angel of the Lord was standing there. Why? He purposed what he was going to do. Brothers and sisters, visitors and friends, let God be true. And let every man be alive. And the angel, verse 32, the angel of the Lord said again, wherefore hast thou spent thy hands these 3 times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee because thy way is. God says, your heart is not right. That's all it means. Like, figure out perverse. They said perverse is you call bad good and good bad. But in essence, what he meant is your heart's not right. Because God sees us in our hearts. And the man saw me and turned from me these 3 times. Verse 33. Unless he had turned from me, surely now I had. God said, but she turned to me and she saved your life. Now, this showed me how bad the angel really was. The angel slipped away in the storm how many times?
3 times. 3 times.
God finally opens his eyes. But this is sometimes when somebody can turn what they're going to do, you just got to leave it in God's hands. Look at somebody say, you got to leave it in God's hands. Come on, look at you, you got to leave it in God's hands. Because they already because they are set, right? The old saying, I forget who it was, he said, you can help somebody who's strong and weak, but you can't help somebody when they're strong and wrong. Because when you're strong and weak, you say, maybe I made a mistake. But when you're strong and wrong, you say, I don't care what nobody say. This is what I'm going to do. Okay. Yes, God. But God was still trying to stop you. God will send messages your way. God will send the extraordinary.
Go with the man.
He said, I've done everything to try to stop you.
When you're so determined to do what you want to do, he said, go ahead and go with the man. Now, before we go any further, can you pull up, give me 2 Corinthians 7:10. I'll give you that. There's two types of repentance. There's one repentance is I'm sorry I got caught. That's one repentance. There's another repentance that says, in my heart, I want to change. So the wrong I did, I won't do it anymore. Because we repent means to make it about change phase. It means to change the course of the direction that you're going in. If anybody's been going in the wrong direction, this scripture says, for godly sorrow. What kind of sorrow? Godly sorrow. Lord, I just want to be, anybody just want to be right in God's eyes? Lord, you can take everything away. But don't take your Holy Spirit away from you. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. In other words, when you repent, you don't do it again. This is for godly sorrow? Somebody said, well, I keep doing it over and over again. But the sorrow of this world worketh to hear from God. Listen, if you're going to serve God,
a true man of God really got a prophecy. But he got a parable. So he took up this parable. And he said, Balaam, king of Moab, has brought me down from there out of the mountain of the east, saying, come curse me, Jacob, and come defy Israel. He said, how shall I curse who? He has all the right speech, but he still has a messed up heart. How can I curse whom God has not cursed? How shall I defy whom the Lord has not defied? Verse 10, he gives a prophecy concerning Jacob. He said, the last one who let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. So it appears that your Balaam is repenting and changing. But his heart wasn't right. If a person's heart is not right, you can do all you want, see all you want. God can send everything to stop you, but you would do the wrong thing, even though you know it is wrong. And let's close in Numbers 31. So he gives all these accolades to the people of God, and I brought them a blessing, use them. You can read them and clean on your own. He gives the people of God all these accolades and promises. But then 31 verse 1 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites, after thou shalt be gathered unto thy people. And Moses spake unto the people, saying, arm some of yourselves unto war, and let them go against the Midianites, and avenge the Lord of Midian. Now drop down to verse 7. And they warred against the Midianites as the Lord commanded Moses, and they slew all the males. Verse 8, and they slew the king of Midian, besides the rest of them that were slain, namely Eli and Rechem and Zer and Hur and Reuben, five kings of the Midianites, and didn't it seem like Balaam was repenting? But it wasn't God repentance. So God slew him. Balaam had all the right words, but his heart wasn't right. So the Lord slew him, and verse 16 tells us why. Only thing Balaam had in mind was he wanted the reward of unrighteousness. He wanted the reward. He wasn't concerned about a relationship with God. He was just doing it for the benefit. Don't use God. You know, a lot of people think they can tempt God. Use God to get you an advantage. Don't tempt God. Verse 16 says of the same verse, chapter, behold, these call the children of Israel to the what? To the council of Balaam. If God is trying to stop you, listen to God. Yeah, you can do what you want to because God won't make you do anything. But it's so important today, saints of God. If God is standing in the way to stop you, stop. Don't keep going the way you're going. Especially when you know it's wrong. God said, do this, do that, don't do the other. You say, well, I'm in the law, saying, I've been going through this too long. Not taking it anymore. The Bible says, man has no temptation. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Pull that one up for me. She should be a little difficult to be. We use the Word of God to find escape routes to get around God. Listen, God knows you are. You can't get around God. If God is speaking, you can do all you want to plan. You can do everything. That's what in the end you'll be another thing. You'll be a statistic. Because the sorrow of this world worketh death. Then, guess what that's for? All of us. There's no exception. Then no temptation takes.
said he can deal with it. Because God is,
God's trying to stop you.
But your heart is determined to do what you want to do, even though you know it's wrong. You know what? It's better to do what's right in that God's faith than do what's wrong and think you get it again. First 15 or 2 Peter 2, 15 and 16, we'll close here. Which have forsaken the right way. 2 Peter 2, 15. The problem of man is he forsook what was right. Don't allow anyone, even yourself, to talk you out of doing what is right. Whoever saying the right way and going astray, following the way of, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozar, who loved, he just wanted to get towards the wages for unrighteousness. Why? His heart wasn't right. So he didn't care about God, he used God, but his own purpose in using God, because he didn't have a relationship with the Lord, was to get some advantage. And verse 16 says, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb man speaking with thin voice forbade the madness, as we all stand. He forbade the madness of the prophet. I wonder, you know, one of the greatest lessons you can ever learn in life is this. Forget about what people say. And just say, speak, Lord, for thy. Samuel doesn't say speak God, because God means there's no relationship. When you learn to speak to the Lord with a relationship, when you learn to surrender to God, when you learn to submit to God, don't purpose it to you. Purpose it to God. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, how many of us are trying to follow after Jesus? Come on, how many of us are trying to follow after Jesus? He said, let him I accept. The biggest challenge to following God is ourselves. That's the biggest challenge. Forget about all the